Welcome to episode 163 of Drunk on Comics, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. Today's episode is titled Traffic in Trees. It up, you're gonna regret that. Whose fault is this? Not mine. You started this. I'm just smarter than you.
I like how you're just smarter than everyone.
I'm smarter than you.
So I have to tell you guys, I had a happy accident, I guess.
We were just talking about those.
Well, no, that was a happy ending.
Oh, okay. Wait.
Oh, are you pregnant?
No. Oh. I just look like it.
Oh, okay. So,
well, that's all the sense. Beer.
Yeah. This isn't a beer gut. This is my liver. But no, so I had to go out to my parents' house yesterday to help them with a couple things. Moving some stuff around in the garage. They're like, oh, great, you're here. Since you're here, these are all your boxes of shit.
Awesome. The childhood clean out.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's when empty nest turns into get the fuck out of the house.
Well, I mean, I've been out of that house for
6 months, right? You lived in the basement before that.
Yeah. It would have been awesome. Their basement's so sweet. But, no, like, I mean, I've been out of there for a long time, but they've had boxes of my stuff in the garage. And so, my girlfriend and I are out there, and they're like, all right, let's start going through these. And I'm like, oh, boy. It was, like, the only thing that I really had there was stuff that I didn't take from place to place before I truly settled down. It's all old toys.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's all my old toys.
That's amazing.
Like, stuff from growing up to stuff through the 90s, like when I was in college. I did have a few things, like, still new in the package.
Wow.
But the older stuff, I've got old Star Wars stuff, and I have first-gen Transformers.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
They made Transformers in that?
So I've been reading these for a little bit, yet. The Guardians team-ups have been a lot of fun. They've meshed through with people like Nightcrawler and She-Hulk. A lot of characters that would just have absolutely no reason at all being with the Guardians. But they make for some really interesting reads. This one in particular is done by Ray Fox, did the writing. Bengal was the artist. VC's Corey Petit was the letterer. And Marte Garcia was the color artist. The cover art was also done by Bengal. Really great. The entire story will take you less than a minute to read because there were no words until the last panel.
So what you're saying is you're just skipping past all the beautiful art.
Oh, no. I actually went back and reread it 3 times in under a minute.
Oh.
It was great. Like, just re-following through. The art is gorgeous. The take on Groot is very different. Lindsay made a comment when I showed her that it reminded her of Miyazaki, and I totally understand why. It's very different. It's almost this mask-esque approach to it, with his fingers and toes being more leaves than wood.
I was thinking more not leaves as much as they were kind of like the little buds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, because they're kind of green.
Yep.
Like green little new sprouts.
Yep, and he uses them in combat quite a bit.
I do enjoy on the cover how he's kind of rooted to the surfboard.
Yep. Because apparently the power cosmic allows for floral and fauna to grow with it.
Ah.
I don't know that for sure, but that's the thing. I just made that up. Marvel, it's yours. You can have it.
So Linz, you kind of... Well, you read this in the 2 minute time span as well.
Yeah, I leafed through it.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, Groot joke.
Wow.
You know what? That one's growing on me.
Pew, pew, pew. You fucking went out on a limb for that one, didn't you?
Yay.
I think that was my first Drunk on Comics pun.
Yeah, well, it's the root of all evil.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Sparking really, up the wrong tree.
Really truthfully.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great.
You're making me pine for more jokes.
All right, you are the king. I concede.
All right, so, no, but overall, good story? Like,
truthfully, it was all action-based. Didn't, like, if you have to read the first page, the intro page, kind of talking about the backstory. If you're a regular group follower, it's great. You don't have any problems keeping up with what's going on. However,
it does get sad real fast there towards the end.
There's a spin at the end, and you go from, like, oh, this is awesome, to, oh. So it's like, the reason why they're fighting together is it's a little heart-wrenching, but it's a really great read. And I really recommend the pickup. It kind of branches off of Groot number 2, where Groot is found in space by Silver Surfer. I'm assuming that this is kind of a connection into that.
Okay.
I don't know that for sure, but I'm assuming. I think the timing is a little weird if that wasn't planned, but it's very cool.
Okay.
Moving on. Had to fit one last one in there, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hey, I try to branch out with my jokes.
Oh, don't repeat them. That's not fun.
Oh. The problem is you can't remember all of the jokes.
I know.
And besides, I'm just a big sap.
It's very true. I will give you that one.
Wow. All
right, Linz, I'm curious as to what you got there. I was going to jump in, but I'm looking over and I'm like, going, ooh, that's...
Okay, so I have Deadly Class, issue 15. Have you been reading this at all?
No.
Okay.
I don't know anything about this.
I
love Image, though.
I love this book. It's a little Breakfast Club meets Less Than Zero, but they're all at a school for assassins. Like, they're the children of, like, warlords and drug dealers and former assassins.
And it's Rick Remender.
Right. It is Rick Remender and...
So it's like growing up in Flint.
Yeah, a little bit. Did you go to a school for assassins?
I mean, well, I grew up in Flint.
Okay, so yes, is the answer to that one.
I saw a terrible little meme on the internet. And us being Michigan people is probably funnier to us. But it's like a... the sign on the highway, and it's like, you know, Flint to the left, Detroit towards the right, and then in the middle it says Lane Ends, and it goes, I think I'll pick Lane Ends.
Aww.
Tragic.
Yeah.
But unfortunately fairly true.
All right, continue, please.
So Rick Remender and Wes Craig are the co-creators on this. Rick Remender's the writer, Wes Craig is the artist, and they work, like, together on it. Rick Remender's not writing it and then sending his ideas off to Wes Craig. They're kind of
collaborative.
Thank you. That is the word I was trying to say.
I thought you might.
And it makes for a really good story because a lot of this book, the series so far, I mean, it's about kids trying to grow up, you know, make friends, fall in love, fall out of love, betrayal, all that general high school stuff, but they're also learning how to kill people.
Yeah.
and there's a lot of drug use. So,
I mean, this really takes the high school heartbreaker to a whole new level.
It really does. It really does. And the art's amazing in telling the story. I think that if there wasn't this collaboration between the two, it would just be literally the Breakfast Club on drugs. It's Less Than Zero.
Yeah, that's why I was like, because Less Than Zero is the Breakfast Club. It's just like 5 years later.
Right. With lots of drugs, which is essentially kind of what this is. A little Fear and Loathing-esque in some of the drug scenes. You know, you get really trippy with the art when they're really on drugs. But I don't think I reviewed any of the other ones. I chose to do 15 because it kind of, a storyline has ended and a new one is about to start. So what
Now, is this the beginning of the new storyline?
It's
or is
a
it
issue
the
in.
The old...
It's an issue in to the new storyline. So the main character in this book is Marcus. He's kind of like a homeless kid. He's raised in the foster system. A lot of bad shit has happened to him. He's been taken into this school for assassins. And he's made friends. He's lost friends. This big storyline went on with...
Now, I have to ask. Did he lose friends because they died in assassin school or because they're no longer friends?
Well, both.
Okay, because hey, great.
Because he's a teenager, so...
That's what I was wondering. I was like, lost friends, like, oh, they were, like, on a training mission and they didn't make it.
Well, yep. There's that.
Wow, this is edgy.
So the way the last one ended is they had this big, it wasn't even a mission. They decided to go kill the guy that Marcus grew up with, he was torturing him, essentially, throughout his childhood. They decided to band together as friends and go kill this guy. One of their
That's what friends do.
Right.
Yeah. That's a thing.
One of the friends died. The other one, because, you know, there's a love triangle, of course, because they're teenagers. So there's Marcus.
So how many people were involved with it?
Three.
Oh.
Well, four now. Actually, now it's still three. Because he
But it's six, because we don't know.
He was dating a girl named Maria, but he was in love with this girl named Saya. He cheated on Maria with Saya. Anyway, all this shit goes down. In the previous couple books, spoiler, Maria ends up getting killed by the head of the school. Because the rule, the main rule of the school is don't get caught. Do whatever the hell you want, just don't get caught. She got caught. She got found out. They found out she killed somebody, so he killed her.
Yep, no sense.
And then they told all the friends that she took off. So everybody thinks she just left.
Yeah.
So Marcus is sad. Because he thinks his girlfriend left, but then he's like, oh, this other girl that I love, she's now available. Just kidding, now she's dating his best friend. Because it's high school.
After they hooked up?
Yes.
Well, actually, I think the before that, because it's high school, was the, oh, I'm sad my girlfriend left, but I love this girl, too.
Right, yeah,
that's I think that was the most high school point.
Yeah. So this issue in particular is just about Marcus trying to come to terms with Maria leaving. Trying to get with Saya, realizing that she and his ex-best friend now are hooking up, they're together, and, eventually he spirals, so.
See, there's a reason that this is an audio podcast, because I'm sitting here watching gingers prune each other like a couple little fucking chimpanzees.
It's an unfortunate fact that, gingers shed occasionally due to the fact that we have no soul to keep everything in.
Yeah. It's true.
She just had Lynn's had like six like random stray hairs just hanging out on one shoulder, and before she started speaking Shriwook, I wanted to make sure that I got them off.
All right, please continue. Oh, you fucking weirdos.
Anyway, this is about his spiral down. He gets into a ton of drugs, even more so than before. He starts hanging out with new people, determines that Maria's not gone, she's dead, but it's Saya who killed her. So this ends with him confronting her. There's going to be an epic battle at the end between the two lovers, former lovers fighting with each other. So
it's like Romeo and Juliet if they hadn't killed themselves.
Right, instead they tried to kill each other.
Right.
Pretty much, yeah. So there's a lot more that goes into this book. I mean, you really have to pick it up. I would suggest reading through the first 14 before
I can imagine 15. It being a little confusing.
But you can kind of hop into it, because the best thing about this book is they give you a The Story So Far page at the very beginning.
Oh, nice little synopsis.
Yes. If you don't, like, sometimes I forget what happened in the previous book. So it's nice to go back.
You drink a lot.
I do. So it's nice to go back and read it and be like, oh, yeah, this is what happened. So, cool. Like I said, the art is amazing. It's not bright. It's very dark. And the colors aren't bright until there's drugs involved. And then the colors get really bright, which is great.
Yeah, it's definitely a muted.
Yeah. So, muted which is tone. Good, because these kids feel like, I mean, there's some serious shit going on in their lives. So, just like all teenagers do. Except they have the added stress of being assassins. So, you know, my childhood. This is a book about my childhood.
Great.
What, killing people on drugs?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
I grew up in the country. There was none of that.
Yeah. But would you have preferred? Would you have preferred?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
See, I was trying forever to think of another tree joke, but I was stumped.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's like, for real?
I do want to add, though, the cover to this book. I love the minimalist of this cover, it's minimalist cover.
It is pretty.
So.
We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
So. Alright guys, I have got We Stand on Guard number 2, also from Image, and this is written by Brian K. Vaughan, artist is Steve Scroce, colors are Matt Hollingsworth, and Photographics did the letters on this one. And then Eric Stevenson is the coordinator.
They've been coordinators, and all kinds of weird new titles have been popping up.
I'm noticing
that
becoming more of a thing. I'm wondering if it's because of the region that the particular collaborators are working in.
Well,
they're in different areas, and it's like, okay, well, everybody needs to come together, and I need to organize and keep everybody on task. You know, all the little things that kind of go into making the communication easy if you're sitting down at the same table. Goes very quickly, but if you're, you know, working across the country.
Well, and Eric Stevenson is the publisher. You know, he's listed as publisher.
Okay.
In there.
Huh.
So, like,
coordinator and publisher kind of the same thing.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Why do you get two credits? Oh, wait, because you get the biggest check.
He threw down all the money.
I mean, it's very true. I do wonder what he does as coordinator. But what if this is publisher or producer?
Get to coordinate.
I wonder what he coordinates. It'd be very interesting to find out. Like, hey, how do I get my name on the inside of a cover in big letters as opposed to the little letters? Oh, I have to coordinate things.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, so maybe what he did was he coordinated with the printer. Make my name bigger.
Maybe.
So, wow, and a cynical level reaches an all-time high. Yay. Here at Joy-Con Comics. That's perfect. Okay, so what happens in this comic?
Okay, so you guys know I like to review a lot of number ones.
Right.
I don't like to review a lot of number twos. I normally wait an issue and then come back like around three or four.
Sure.
This is one of those rare occasions where the book is so good that you are kind of forced into saying, okay, I can't wait another issue to talk about this book. And everything from this book, from the overall writing to the actual artwork, is just amazing. And for people that haven't picked up issue one, We Stand on Guard is obviously about Canadians. Now, I was surprised that the McKay brothers couldn't remember the fact that We Stand on Guard is a line that's repeated twice in the Canadian National Anthem, which I prefer to call it what was it? Not theme song, but...
No, I think you did call it Canada's theme song last time.
Canada's theme song.
Well, my favorite thing is that most Americans know only the first word. I hear that every Olympics when they're doing it. I'm like, okay, you don't actually know the words. Don't sing the first two words. Like, that's weird.
I don't sing it because it's not my theme song.
Sure.
But I know that, I have sang it, and actually we have proof of it on a drunken podcast.
Yes, but you have a brother from another mother.
Yeah, that is
stationed
true.
In Canada.
Yeah, Jay from Elgin Weapon.
Yes.
.ca. C is for Canada.
A.
But
you know, I wonder if they actually just, you know, .c was their choice, but because they were telling the person .ca? Setting it up, .ca, you know, they were just like, all right, .ca it is. No, that's not what I meant, eh? Like, just big problems all there.
So speaking of big problems, are the big, mean... Americans... We're chuckling because there might be some editing magic happening with us being sitting on the patio.
There's lots of traffic.
I kid you not, it's the same GRPD cruiser that is flying back and forth up the street. No lights, but it is the loudest vehicle on the road, bar none.
With the exception of that piece of shit Saturn.
There was a Saturn all tricked out. It was just a junky Saturn. It was just like... Okay, boss, you are clearly trying to get noticed, all the wrong reasons.
By the chick driving the Eagle Talon.
Yeah. So, yes!
Anyway.
Score!
Weird car jokes. So, anyway, we're back to the fucking comic.
Yeah.
Which we should be getting back to.
You left beer.
That is
it's all spit.
You're all spit.
It's all backwash. I don't drink my own backwash.
Is it weird that I'm...
Are we going to edit this part out?
I don't think so anymore. I'm in charge of editing this one, so...
See, you know... Wait,
no. Fun fact, Lindsay does not enjoy backwash.
And Lindsay's all spit.
Which is either a turn-on for those of you out there, or really disturbing. Or both. It could be both.
It could be both.
Oh, I'm just... you just got a new nickname of Snowball.
Oh, no.
So, all right. Big, bad, mean Americans kicking down the door. And the great thing is, in case you miss the flags on their uniforms, the bottom of the boot has a great big U.S. That's page one, the full page splash.
For when they put their boot up your ass, they want the imprint so that you know who did it.
Exactly. I can see that.
So this is you know, future,
that's hilarious.
You know, 2100s. America's invaded Canada because if you didn't catch from issue one, they think Canada pulled some shit on them, so they start dropping bombs and blah blah blah. This book is so fucking cool. There's so much shit going on in it. And our main character, her name is Amber, who is drawn so beautifully. I am falling in love with her.
Like, well, it's because she's ginger.
There you go.
No, it's because she's Canadian.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
My grandmother's Canadian. Does that mean I have a chance?
Oh.
Do I have one quarter of a chance?
You might.
Yes!
So, yeah, anyway, this is this book is just so fucking well done. And I mean, the art by Steve Scroggins, I talked about it the last time. He's got really heavy lines, you know, and I don't know if it's a, if it's, I don't think it's a thing from Hollingsworth with the coloring, because normally that would be an anchor adding the weight to the lines, but they're heavy lines in the separation, which the first issue kind of pulled me out a little bit. The second issue, which I was kind of thinking this would be the way it would go, is I don't know, like, if this book was to continue, I don't know if this is going to be a long ongoing. If it is, I don't know that I could ever want a different artist doing this book after two issues, which is, that's the kind of thing why I had to bring it in, because it is just so fucking insane, the quality of work. Everybody knows that
ooh, I
Vaughn,
like that one a lot.
Yeah. Everybody knows that Vaughn is fucking fantastic when it comes to
for
writing.
Sure.
I mean, all you have to do is go, Saga.
Right.
And you're done. But Steve Scroggins, I was not familiar with his work prior to this. And the two of them together, holy shit. It's really fantastic. There's a lot going on this book. If you missed issue one and you can't find it, which is ridiculous because there's a thing called Comixology.
Right.
Where you can just go buy it digitally. You can still understand what's going on in here. So there's enough reference, but you're probably not going to have the same punch that this book can deliver if you didn't read issue one. So go
True.
Read issue one. Go grab this. And you start seeing some really interesting things with characters where there's true sacrifice going on in this book. And I think because of the way that Vaughn brings it all around and makes these characters very, very human, and you start feeling for them and their cause and their plight much more. Even though everybody has different reasons that this band of people were brought together, you start going, I don't know why for all of them, but I know that it's important. And that's, I think that's one of the beautiful things that are done. So, fantastic job of the entire team. Colors in this book are amazing.
This is one of the most beautiful deaths I've seen in a comic book in a really long time.
Yeah.
Well,
how it's drawn through, like, it's...
A lot of my problems with some artists is that when they do angry faces, especially on women,
they look just, like they're pooping fast.
Yes, yes. She just looks fucking pissed, you know? And
she looks
still,
like she's gonna wreck
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
It's great.
But she still
and
like...
not wreck a toilet.
Right.
Also true.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, this book is just fucking beautiful. And, you know, it really is.
Wow.
Fucking gorgeous book. Every word, every fucking pencil line, every ink line, every droplet of color. This is what a comic book should be. So, go get it. That's it.
Excellent.
Boom.
Love it.
I'd say drop the mic, but that'll make a lot of noise.
That would make a lot of noise.
And we've got enough editing on this episode for something that we don't normally edit.
Right.
It's very true.
All right.
So for those of you who have been listening and wondering why songs jump 30 seconds or so, traffic.
Oh. Okay.
Traffic is why they jump 30 seconds. I actually just realized.
Don't listen to the music
this could
in the
be
background.
A thing. Don't do that. It's background noise, yep. And we don't care about it. It just happens to be playing at our venue.
See, I wasn't even going to say anything about that, but, you know. Yeah.
Well, Adam let the cat out of the bag.
Now it's there.
It's there. It happened. For those of you who didn't notice, you do now.
It's not a problem.
No, it's not.
That's
oh, another tree joke? That's terrible. all of the things that happen right. as we continue.
Yeah.
So we move on to news now?
As we should. All right, actually, before we do, I want to I want to bring up a quick little bar back segment. And our good buddy Travis McIntyre has a book that's coming. What are you talking about over there?
Ginger stuff.
Never mind, I don't want to know.
You're not allowed to know, because it's ginger stuff.
Yeah, well, there's less than a week to go on our buddy Travis McIntyre's Kickstarter project, Dayani and the Nine Daughters of the Moon.
Yep.
Apparently, if you get really drunk, you go home and not only sign up for one reward, but you'll sign up for two. Which is what I did.
And it's worth it.
Oh, I read the first issue that they put out there. What'd
you think?
It was good. It's a cute story. It's very reminiscent of like a fables type story where you know, it's about kids and they're trying to fix something in their lives, but there's fantasy involved in it.
Well, and what this is, I mean, the quick little thing is you're following Dayani and Tala through Filipino folklore and the mythology
yep.
to rescue the Daughters of the Moon. This is a kid-friendly book.
Sure
it's
is.
A great thing. They are super close. Travis is super, super close to reaching this goal. So just go look up Bayani, Bayani, on Kickstarter. You'll find it. Or look up Travis McIntyre. You'll find it that way, too. But, yeah, fun fact, one of the things that I signed up for was our buddy Devin of Snake Oil Comics Podcast. He has to drive over here and sit in on the podcast. And whether he's going to join in or just sit here and critique, i.e., mock us the entire time, I'm not quite sure. But it will be fun regardless.
All both right. will be great.
I paid for that.
Nice.
Yeah, you're
nice.
Welcome. So,
you know, it takes wanting abuse to a whole new level when you physically pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. And, but hey.
How long, till this Kickstarter's over?
Less than a week.
Okay.
It's basically, it'll be done, I think, on, like, Friday or Saturday of the week that this podcast comes out.
Do you have a number on how far he has to go?
About $1,300 as of time of recording.
Wow, great.
So, yeah, he's not, and it's only a $5,000 goal.
Right.
So it's super attainable. So
yeah, no, absolutely.
Every dollar helps. All right, so that's where I'm kicking it off with a bar back. But, all right, let's talk some news.
News.
The news. I want to start off with the Fantastic, or the Fantastic Four movie.
The Less Than Fantastic Four.
The Less Than Fantastic Four. The fan not favorite four is what it's turning into.
Has anyone at this table seen it yet?
No.
No.
Okay, I have not. However, the more terrible shit I hear, the more I want to see it.
Yeah.
It's turning into such a cluster that, we all remember when Watchmen released and everybody was drawing attention to a particular member of the group. A blue glowing one that was hanging out all over everywhere. Not a person. But in this one, a lot of the critiques and reviews that I've been reading is that the Thing, due to the fact that he is noticeably naked through 90% of this, during Origin Story, is oddly asexual.
Well, yeah. I mean...
No, I always assumed...
Let's just say it. It's sitting there, you're shaking your head.
Nobody wants that inside of them.
You know what? That's hurtful, because I assume that every superhero should have the opportunity to get his rocks off.
Oh my god.
Oh, he's so proud of himself, he's doing a victory dance. Wow. It's cute.
How long did you have that one slated up?
Seriously, when I said it just a second ago, I was like, oh my goodness, there's a rocks joke in here.
Nobody caught the slated up part.
I don't know if they did, but like...
Wow.
I didn't.
I had to start preface. Like,
you guys take my jokes for granted.
Did you hear that?
They do.
You take my
jokes
for granted.
Okay, I got that one. I got that one.
Man, your jokes are the shist.
All right, you guys are getting into stuff I don't even know about now.
Yeah. Oh boy!
Yeah. So no. Fantastic Four was just recently launched in theaters. The reviews have been not great. They're certainly not saving us from anything.
The best review I've heard so far the most positive review I've heard was that it's a really good 100-minute long trailer for the sequel.
I hate it when movies do that. I hate it so much. That's essentially what all the first three X-Men movies were, as a trailer for the next one.
What?
Hurtful.
Yeah.
I disagree.
I disagree. I think the first one was pretty good on standalone. The next two, we can have some discussion about. Yeah, but the first one was decently.
That's
mostly because you don't like what they did with Jean Grey.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
I agree with you.
Anybody who knows me knows that I love Jean Grey.
I completely understand, and I love that the comics revamped her in this new future, and they give her new powers.
Oh my god!
Because it's a new timeline.
Great whole different topic I could talk for an hour about.
But
we're not gonna.
But on that level,
yes.
Same production company, moving forward with Fantastic Four, and despite the fact that they have had massive launch dollars going into marketing and publicity to try and hook more people, including things like Pandora, they have not been getting good reviews from the public.
The problem is these studios can only keep the rights to these movies
for so long. So they have to make another movie
so they can restart their waiting period. So the feeling is that they threw this together so that they wouldn't lose the rights to the Fantastic Four.
Some of the articles I was reading, actually, the director was stating that he shouldn't be blamed for the fact that this writing has been terrible. It's actually that the studio was giving a lot of trouble and demanding certain things to occur.
Well, that could be true. Could be the Joss Whedon argument from, you know, why he had to have the Black Widow love story with Hulk and not Hawkeye.
Right.
But whatever. It is what it is. So, other fun things in the news, speaking of, since we're on the movie topic, not as much comic book related as this one is definitely definitely going to be horror related.
Okay.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm.
5 years after getting a reboot is getting a reboot.
You know, and I honestly can say that the actor who portrayed him in the last film did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Jackie Earle Haley.
Loved. Not nuts about the writing of that film as a traditionalist. That was the first film to ever give me nightmares. The old ones from the Robert Englund ones that just... Man, the ones where he could jump in and invade my dreams. Dreams are my safe place. You can't do that. And then when he did it in a film, that actually changed me. That it changed my perspective on dreams. And it was a terrifying thing for a few weeks, but a beautiful thing in the long run.
And very wet.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, who doesn't want the thought of being chopped up in their sleep? I mean, that's just a sploosh moment.
Boys are weird.
Lindsay likes it.
Yeah.
She just doesn't want to admit it.
Yep. Speaking of
goddamn cruiser.
That's something we gotta leave.
Yeah.
In. Yeah.
Oh, now they're pulling someone over!
Oh! It's the same cruiser catching people going too fast on the same road.
That's awesome. Alright, so, speaking of Jean Grey, there could be potential redemption on the small screen.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm hoping for that.
The X-Men television show.
Absolutely. Yeah. Did anybody watch Generation X on Fox years and
Gen
years
X,
ago?
Was it in the 90s or was it early
2000s? Oh, it was 90s.
Yeah.
They had Mondo on there. They had Stretch. I mean, it was super early. They had...
They should have had Husk. just shedding... pieces of skin all the time would have been gross.
They had a She-Hulk variety. She wasn't green, but she was super strong.
It was like a Fairchild. It was a Fairchild ripoff from Gen 13.
Kind of.
Which is even funnier because, you know, originally Gen 13, I guess, was going to be Gen X. I don't know if you guys know this because I'm really old, but this is what I'd heard, was that they wanted to be Gen X, but Marvel said, no, you can't, because we have the X thing. And so that's why they made Generation X.
Sure.
That's what I heard.
Gotcha.
No, you know, and that very well could be true, because the Weapon X program, the X portion of that was their big moneymaker for a good long time. They branched, what, 6 series off of that in the history of Marvel?
What, the Weapon X?
Yeah, using Weapon X, because they've got all of that, all of the Wade Wilson continuations, all of the revamped origin stories for Wolverine. X is a big fucking letter in Marvel, even though the rest of the world kind of glazes over it.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, I'll continue. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut off. It was
my feelings of an X-Men series are this. It's possible. They've done it animated very well in a series form. It's the possibilities are there. It's been around for so long, you could just run with it for years. My problem is that it's Fox, and Fox doesn't ever embrace, like, anything good that it has. I mean, look at what happened to Firefly.
it's amazing that it goes
Firefly.
Always Firefly.
But, wow.
And it takes the writer later on to take that good idea, and, you know, they really just put a spear through the wash on that one.
Oh man.
Wow. Somebody's aiming to misbehave.
No, I mean, but in fairness, like, in order to save things from Fox's decisions at times, it turns into killing beloved characters to try and revamp a series.
Right.
Like, what is Fox going to do? Is it going to recognize the fact that it could actually have greatness and keep with it? So many other television shows, not comic book related, have been marginal in their first season, but allowed to run, and because of that, succeeded. I mean, there was recently a BuzzFeed list of the top 10 series on Netflix that are perfect if you skip the first season.
Well, here's the issue, I think, that it's going to come down to. Are they going to be allowed to run and create new content?
Oh.
Are they going to use only
old content?
Or are they going and stick to it? Or are they going to use old content in some twisted Fox-like way?
Is it going to be Dawson's Creek X-Men style?
Yeah.
That's honestly my biggest fear.
No,
I don't want it to be some teen love drama.
That's kids
with superpowers.
That's a real scary thought.
Yeah. Speaking of the Mutant X project, or the Weapon X project, Deadpool trailer.
Oh, Deadpool.
Yeah. Okay, I think it's fairly well known. I think Deadpool is a really fucking stupid character. I enjoy him from time to time.
Sure.
This is one of the times when I'm really enjoying it. So
I love Deadpool, depending on the writer. In particular, anything that Brian Posehn puts his hand into, I'm generally on board with. Brian Posehn is one of my favorite comedians. I love him.
Well, and he's been a fanboy for life.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I think that shows.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that Ryan Reynolds was particularly having fun with the fact that he shot the pre-trailer.
Yeah, there's a trailer for the trailer.
Where they talked about sewing his mouth shut.
Yeah, and how stupid an idea that was. And I actually earned respect points. I actually gave respect points for the fact that the film was going to make fun of itself.
Yeah.
Like, anybody who says, hey, you know, we did that thing, that was a really bad decision.
That's the thing with Deadpool, though. That's the fourth wall that he breaks in his comics.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I'm excited. You're excited.
Yes.
You're excited.
I'm so excited I watched it 3 times without my pants on.
Which is funny, because he has that great line in there. He's like, I'm so touching myself tonight.
Yep.
Yeah. And actually, I appreciated the fact not only is this going to be an R-rated movie, it was R-rated trailer.
Yeah, they had both. They had the green band and the red band trailer. Yeah.
When's the last time you saw, like, you never see R-rated trailers. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it really sets the stage, because they know what they're getting into. They know what they're setting the precedence for, and I think that's what's important.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the movie.
Okay. I will see it opening night, dressed up, not like Deadpool.
You're going to be dressed up like a nerd?
Probably.
Yeah.
That's what I usually wear to every day.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Other things you could see on opening night, is the new Archie musical.
Oh my
god. Oh my gosh, this sounds so great.
Veronica!
What?
That was Veronica.
Oh, okay.
Veronica!
Oh, yeah, see that?
Did you miss that?
Yeah.
You want to do it again? Veronica! I did it anyway.
Okay, so the first and the third ones have just sound like gobbly. It's like, hey, no!
So, Bob Dylan.
Yeah, it's
so, oh, wait. Yeah, it's Bob Dylan as Archie.
High pitched Bob Dylan. Yeah, yeah! Oh! Be, yeah, be!
That sounds like a musical I would want to watch.
Yeah. While really stoned.
Preferably.
So, Archie musical.
Yeah.
So excited.
Adam McKay is behind this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where this is going to be, appearing.
Debuted.
But it's coming. I'm guessing it's going to be in New York.
Right.
Oh, I'm sure.
Broadway.
I guarantee you they'll get enough funding to launch this on a Broadway.
Yeah, so anyway, keep your eyes peeled for it. It's going to be fun. Last piece of news that I have, and then perhaps we can get into a short discussion of one other topic here. The last piece of news I have is that there was a pre-screening of the Batman versus Superman, and it got a standing ovation.
Yes. Very, very rarely does Batman and Superman both get the big O.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, I was actually pretty surprised when I read through this. A lot of people have been giving a lot of flack over the fact that the trailer has been dark and oddly tinted throughout the entirety. But the pre-screening was run, and the entire audience not only connected with it, but connected with it in such a strong fashion that they couldn't help but just blow up over social media and review fashions afterwards. No spoilers have been included that I've read, but apparently it's the Superman versus Batman movie that we were wanting, not the one we thought we were getting.
Is it the one that we deserve?
Some of us deserve less than others, so, but I'm really hoping that that's the case.
Full disclosure moment. This is the executives at the studio who gave the film a standing ovation.
Fair enough.
And these are unconfirmed and credited. Uncredited.
So. Well, I like the fact that the article said rumor.
Yeah.
Rumors.
So
it would be interesting to see.
Did they stand up and give a standing ovation? Because they're like, look at all the money we're gonna make.
It's worth our $3.3 million right. per person.
Or did they stand up and clap and just they're standing up and walking out the
yeah,
door?
Yeah, right.
That technically is a standing ovation.
Well, I mean, it is.
Right.
So
great. On to the next project.
Yes. All right. Briefly, there's a lot of hubbub on the internets this week about a certain person that wrote an article, which is Jay Michelin, wrote an article which I saw on comicsalliance.com saying why I'm boycotting Marvel Comics. And I don't know if this is, honestly, I read this book, or I read this article, and to be honest, I don't know if this is a man or a woman. I don't know what ethnicity this person is. I don't know what sexual orientation this person is. To me, it doesn't matter.
No.
I do think it's a well-written editorial piece.
Very well-written.
With that said, I think that the shortest conversation point on this, to me, is Marvel Comics and DC Comics, the big two, they do superhero books. They do status quo books. This is not the place that I think you should be looking for change. That, you know, and the argument here is there's a lot of different things, but the thing that pushed this writer over the edge was that the new Blade book is given to two white creators.
Actually, in the article, as much as it was that point, he's very excited that the two people who are doing it are going to do a good job. He's more drawing attention to an exec at Marvel who is stating flat out that Hercules, now that it is being relaunched, is no longer going to be a bisexual character.
Right. Well, and, there's a lot of things, but this was the straw.
Yep. Yeah. So many things. And I really love that this particular writer has gone so far as to say he believes that these people will do good work. But he wants Marvel to be better. And I agree very much with you, Derek, that if you want somebody who's going to do more progressive work and make larger changes, the indie comic route is definitely the route to go. This author really wants the major comic book franchises, though,
to start hiring more.
You're right.
To be an industry leader, to take a head on.
Now, here's a couple quick things, because unfortunately we don't have enough time to talk about this one forever.
Right.
But there's a couple things for me that I think are important. Number one, if you look at the comic books 10 years ago, 20, 30, 40 years ago, even in the big two, the changes that have happened, it is...
That's what I was going to say.
It's really wonderful.
Even if you go just on like the woman's front in comic books.
Oh,
I mean, huge changes have been made. Are they massive? Are they world-changing? No, but they're big enough to notice.
Right. You know, and the fact that you know, with this new Blade series, it is a female lead who is not white.
Right.
Ms. Marvel.
Right.
Female lead, not white,
right.
Not Christian.
Right.
You know.
So excited about that. She's doing great work.
There are changes happening. But the best thing that I can say in, like, backing up the writer of this article, you don't like what you're seeing, don't give them money.
Right.
Give the money to what you want to see. And that's why... You know, us here, we've always talked about what we like, what we love. We don't talk about books that we don't, because, you know what? Share the word about the good stuff.
Yeah.
Ignore the rest and give your money, and that's what's going to make a difference out there. So,
taking the thumper approach. You don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Yeah. And go fuck off.
And Thumper said that in Bambi. It's a subtext. But if you read it, it's there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can hear it in the thumping.
Yeah, that's exactly. Morse code. Yeah. High five. Ginger moment.
Gingers unite. All right. So this week, Indy Turnpike, I've got a twofer because it just felt appropriate. Partially one because I wasn't here last week, and so I didn't get to talk about one book. And I'll explain the rest here in a second. So, book number one for Indie Turnpike this week is Hacktivist, Volume 2, Issue 1 of 6. And this book is from Arkea. And it's... the idea was created by Alyssa Milano.
Which I think is amazing, first of all.
Yeah,
who would have thought?
Why? Because she's a woman and can't come up with those ideas?
No, because it's Alyssa Milano.
What are you, Marvel?
Would you have ever connected Alyssa Milano to the comic book industry?
You know, no.
All right.
But, when this first came out, when Volume 1 came out, and I did some research, I understood why. And I gained a lot of respect for her. Now, this is co-written by Colin Kelly and Jackson Lansing, and this is illustrated by Marcus Toe. And Tony and I had the pleasure of interviewing all three of those guys a year and a half-ish ago when Volume 1 was out. I'm so thrilled that this entire creative team is back together, including colors by Ian Herring. The whole fucking team is back to do Volume 2, which to me makes it that much better. Here's the big thing on this book. If you didn't read Volume 1 and you're grabbing this because it says Issue 1, stop. Buy it, but don't read it. Go find fucking Volume 1 and read it, because you are going to be confused as a motherfucker.
So, okay.
Yeah, I'm guessing, Lindsay, you haven't read this one
yet? I
haven't, no. Okay, but I know you read the first volume.
Yeah.
Yeah. This basically picks up... I love the fact that it says the location 6 months later. That's the first thing on page one. So that right there should be your clue that you missed a big chunk.
Right.
But the whole idea behind this is it's kind of social media and hackers uniting to do good things in the world. And now you find out in this one it's kind of... Other people have kind of taken up the mantle of the two guys that originally started the whole first hacktivist event going on. And all these other hackers are taking it up. These aren't nice hackers. These are hackers willing to kill. And so now it's like, now you're starting to see a little bit different side of it. But the story, it's really amazing to me when you have two writers that come together that can create a story like this, where it is so clear and concise on the voices of the characters and the feel of the book. I cannot understand how two people can make a story like that that flows so well. Add in the artwork from Marcus Toe and the colors by Ian Herring, this is one of the prettiest fucking books you'll ever see in comics. Ever.
Yeah.
So, go check that one out.
Beautiful.
Next one I've got for Indie Turnpike is Journey, Volume 2, Issue 1.
Journey like, don't stop.
No, please stop. Please stop. Now this is Journey, J-I-R-N-I, and this is the Black Rock. But Volume 2, Chapter 1 of 5 from Aspen Comics. This is written by J.T. Cool. Pencils are by V. Ken Marion, and digital inks by Mark Roslin, and colors by Juan Fernandez. This book, easiest way to explain this is if you like the old Frazetta style artwork, pick this up. If you like Dungeons and Dragons, pick this up. What was the video game? Gauntlet. That's what it was.
Oh my god.
If you like Gauntlet, pick this up. If you like Final Fantasy, pick this up. If you like Link, pick this up. If you like things like The Neverending Story and, like, you know, Legend, pick this book up. This is all of the beautiful things that fantasy can bring you. J.T. Krull does a beautiful job on dialogue. And V. Ken Marion, he's new on this book because the last one was Paolo Pantolina on the first one. And Pantolina's art is, like, orgasmic. I'm not going to lie. But I'm going to quick pull up an image here. Shiny Cap'n. Real fucking shiny.
Oh, wow.
No, that's great.
Yeah. And that's a full page spread.
It's definitely high fantasy.
Yes.
It is. Lots of cool colors, blues, purples. The gold in there is a beautiful accent with the dark lines that they draw.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's just kind of a general page that there for you guys to see. This is a book that my comic shop didn't have on the shelf when I got there. Now, I got there a little later in the afternoon. Very possible that they sold out. I got it digitally. And I prefer the actual physical book.
Right.
But this is a book that's so good, I don't care. Get it however you can get it. Journey is a great book. Unlike Hacktivist, you can jump in on this
one. Okay.
So, the first book is kind of more the origin story. This one here is just the new adventure. And it's the traveling, fighting warrior woman that is...
Oh, I'm drawn in already.
Yeah. So, go check it out, guys. That does it for me for Indie Turnpike with two selections.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Making up for lost time there.
I am.
Well, I have booze in a book this week.
Woo!
Which is brought to you by Ink Whiskey. Go to inkwhiskey.com, check out their stuff because it is so cool.
Old Nintendo NES retro flasks, which, you know what was really fucked up? I told you guys at the beginning of the show how I found all my old toys. I also had all of my old Nintendo games.
Nice.
And you were like, I can't drink out of these.
And that's a fucked up thing. I'm sitting there looking at these going, ha, those look like a flask. Because I've gotten so used to those being flasks now.
Right? That's funny.
But yeah, I did have my very original Final Fantasy game.
Oh, man.
Which...
I still do.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't get rid of it. It has your game saved.
Nope. That's exactly it. I have two different systems where I was trying to play with different character groups, and I've still never beaten it. It's the game I've been playing since I was 9 years old and still never finished the game to completion.
Wait, you never beat Final Fantasy?
The original?
Yeah.
No.
Oh my god, you're a terrible, terrible person.
I know. I beat multiple other Final Fantasy games. That one at the beginning, though, you have to level grind for so many hours.
Yeah, but
and
you
as a child, I remember playing with my best friend across the street, Brett. And we would play for like 6 to 10 hours thinking that that would be enough. And then playing the first boss, whose name was Gaylord, and dying immediately. And then being like, this game is stupid! And then the next weekend, spending all afternoon trying to level up enough to beat this character. And then failing for like 3 years.
There was one spot in that game. We're so fucking far off topic, but I don't care.
Pretty much.
there's one little peninsula on that island or on that map in one spot where if you just went in the 4 squares around and around, if you went 6, didn't work. But in the 4, you could get some huge, like, really, really strong, terrible monsters. And I just remember because I had the actual, like, Nintendo Power magazine.
Oh, sure.
Like,
right
the book that, yeah. that, like, walked you through it. And I drew around that one spot, and I named it, like, Peninsula of Terror. And if you wanted to level grind, that's where you went. Because if you could beat one of those guys, that's, like, an automatic level.
Inside information on video games.
Hey, there you go. All right,
anyway.
A bonus this week.
All right. Spoos in a Book. This week I have This Damned Band, which is from Dark Horse Comics. It's written by Paul Cornell, the art is by Tony Parker, colors by Lovern Kinzierski, and letters by Michael Heisler. So this is a book, it's based in the 70s, it's about like a rock band called Mother Father. It's drawn, it's drawn in the style.
Wait, the band is actually called Mother Father?
Yeah.
Awesome. That is so metal.
It's drawn in the style of a documentary, kind of like Spinal Tap.
Okay.
So the way you're reading this is if you were watching a documentary. Everything is like a camera shot, even the off-scene stuff. And the things that you couldn't get in camera shots, there are artist renderings of. So there's this entire portion of the book where they all took a bunch of shrooms and got on stage. None of the actual account of it, the video of it, super boring because it's just a bunch of guys on stage tripping. The best part is what they each saw while they were tripping on shrooms, and it's all in artist renderings towards the middle.
Nice.
So this is following this band. They're on the... We're a rock band that dabbles in the satanic, much like a lot of bands did in the late 70s, early 70s, trying to get on that kick.
I like my coffee like I like my Sabbath. Black!
There you go. But they're not actually, that's not something they're actually into personally. Like, one of the band members doesn't even drink or do drugs or anything like that. They're very low-key in their personal lives, but on stage, they're balls to the wall, hail Satan. the funny thing about this is through...
Wait, where's the booze?
Where's the booze?
Booze in the book, right?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
The funny thing about this is through... Without their knowledge, they're actually getting into Satanism, and they end up summoning a demon. They're dancing with the devil, much like our booze, which is Devil Dancer from Founders.
Wow. There it is.
Yep.
Beautiful tie-in this week.
Wow.
Right.
That was articulate and intelligent.
There you go, right?
Far beyond what the other two of us would have done.
If you guys haven't had Devil Dancer from Founders, which is local to us, Founders, it's a triple IPA. It is 12%.
On your butt.
It will knock you on your ass, and you will be seeing shit that you need artist renderings for.
get a taxi, get an Uber, or a DD if you're drinking that stuff. I can tell you, only because of friends, really bad judgment. Didn't realize when he... had Devil Dancer, and he's like, yeah, and he had 3 of them, not realizing, and then he drove.
Yeah.
Yeah, oops.
Horrible.
Be smart with that one. Be smart with all of them, but that one in particular.
Right. That one in particular.
It's real, I mean, it's a triple IPA, so it's super hoppy, but it's great tasting, but it will knock you on your ass for sure, and, you know, drink some, read this book, and the trippy drug scenes will totally make sense to you.
Whee! All right, anybody got anything for Last Call that they want to throw out there?
Last Call, I was tearing through Battle World. Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde number one launched. Written by Humphreys, artist is Fermancia, and the colorist is Colonine. It's beautiful. If you read through all of the Star-Lord comics, this is kind of the new launch in there now that the universe is deteriorated and Star-Lord has lost his fiancée, but finds her again in a different form here in Battle World.
Wait, I thought Star-Lord was hooking up with Kitty Pryde.
That's exactly right. But so, Kitty Pryde died when the multiverse collapsed.
Oh, so wait, so he was engaged to Kitty Pryde?
Yep.
Wait, what?
Yeah!
Fuck off!
Hey, man, you gotta read through all the Star-Lords. They're really great. For those of you who didn't, Star-Lord comics were really wonderfully written, beautiful. Art in this is beautiful because Star-Lord starts off as a lounge singer singing Disney tunes because in Battle World, Disney doesn't exist. So he's seen as a musical genius because he knows the Disney tunes.
Nice.
It literally starts him off singing songs from The Little Mermaid.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
Awesome. That's so
perfect
awesome.
In so many levels. Give it a read. It's very fun for all of you nerds out there who like lots of crossover levels. That's what this does for you.
And not only, it's a beautiful, shameless plug for the parent corporation.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
I'm not arguing that at all.
For sure. That is beautiful.
But so much fun. Lots of fisticuffs being thrown at the end of it.
Not as lighthearted was Rasputin number 7 from Image.
I'm sure not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, oh, and by the way, some of my books, because of the fact that I was gone last week and I had, well, I was actually like gone. So I'm not 100% certain what came out this week or versus last.
It happens.
It's all good.
Yeah. So like Southern Bastards number 10, I think that was last week.
I think so too.
God Hates Astronauts?
That was last week.
Was that?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, cool. Prince, what else you got?
I got The Bunker, number 13, which I know you picked up too, but you didn't read yet. I love this book. I don't always follow what's going on in it. This issue was intense, and I can't wait for you to read it so I can talk to you about it.
Yeah. Well, you know why? It's very ironic, because one of the reasons I'd be behind on my books is I was camping last week, which is also intense.
Yeah, no. And depending on who you're camping with, it's fucking intense.
Yeah. Hey, co-ed naked camping is feeling intense.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You guys are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what else you got?
I got The Spire, number 2. Have you read this one yet?
Dude, I'm so far behind.
This book is beautiful.
Oh, it's fucking Jeff Stokely.
High fantasy.
For
sure.
This is one of the things. I met Jeff 2-ish years ago, and I regret to this day that I did not get a sketch from him when I could have.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And I can picture this. This to me seems like it could fall into like the Jim Henson movie universe.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit darker, but...
Yeah. Did you read Six Gun Gorilla?
I did not.
Same creative team.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. Yeah, okay.
Well, if it's as good as this, then I totally want to read it.
Based on one issue, it's hard to say. I would say this is... On one issue, is just as good, but Six Gun Gorilla is one of the best series I've ever read in my life.
Right on.
So...
Okay. I'll have to read it, then. Justice League, Gods and Monsters, Wonder Woman. So, completing the trilogy there.
Nice.
And then The Wicked and the Divine, which I'm still hanging on to. It's still good.
Bob's Burgers, number 2.
Nice.
Oh, I didn't know that they launched that!
Well, this is the second one.
Yeah, no.
I mean, like, the second series.
I didn't know
the
that.
The best thing about this is it runs like the, like you could read this one and not have read any of the other ones.
Yeah, beautiful. No, it's yeah. Just like the show. Yeah. Just fucking watch it.
Yeah.
And
perfect.
And I promise you, if you've watched the show, you hear all the voices. If you haven't watched the show, I'm not quite sure why you'd pick it up, but it's still fucking funny.
Right.
Great.
So
I love that.
Dark Corridor, number 1 from Image.
Dark Corridor.
Yeah.
From
the cover is intriguing. I haven't seen or heard of this, but it makes me want to read it.
More to come on this book later. We will talk about this one much more. And 8 House, number 2, Arclight. Okay, I talked about issue 1 same time that I talked about issue 1 of We Stand on Guard. Yeah, fuck off, Image, for putting out 2 insanely good books at the exact same time.
Yeah,
what do you expect us to do? Just be made of money? Come on.
Both of these series are just... And this is one where I had a real... the artwork is amateur-looking, but it's perfect.
Right.
So, based on that, I say amateur-looking, I don't mean it to be a knock. It just... But, again, this is one of those books, kind of like We Stand on Guard. Now that I'm 2 issues in, I could not imagine the art style being anything other than what it is. It's fucking gorgeous. Go grab that. So.
Right on. Awesome.
All right.
That's it for today, I think.
All right.
I think so, too.
I have to pee. So, this is where we end.
Thank you.
Yeah, Princess has to go visit the throne in the Tinkle Palace.
I'm so glad I didn't say what I was about to say. But, all right, guys. Well, keep reading your comics. We will be here next week to talk to you more about them then. We might be on a patio again.
Right on.
I don't know.
No, we'll just do it at my house, and I have whiskey. So we'll just do shots of whiskey every time somebody says vagina. Drink.
Oh, no, even better, because I have the headphones on, I just heard the bass thumping as that last car went by. And we're out.